Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night!
Well, there goes the neighborhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 143rd episode of Dave's Gone By, brought to you on this September 22nd, 2005, by Hewlett Minuteman Press, The Copy Kings, and Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. And I was all excited about tonight's show because I was going to interview a singer-songwriter that I like a whole bunch, someone who's had a taste of pop success and then went on to keep making good folk pop rock records right up through her latest, Underdog Victorious, which we're also titling tonight's show. Jill Sobule is best known as the quote-unquote one-hit wonder behind I Kissed a Girl, but she's written, I think, a dozen keepers that you have heard of, too, if the record industry and the radio industry had any remaining sense of taste or talent. I mean, David Hajdu of the New Republic called Jill Sobule a deft ironist, smart and original, a treasure. And Will Hermes on NPR's All Things Considered says that Sobule's lyrics are always, quote, catchy and funny and smart. There's a truth to her stories, and her hooks and lyrics are always fine-tuned and elusive. So I was thrilled when Jill's manager set up an interview in conjunction with Jill's performances in town this week. She's at Joe's Pub in Manhattan for two shows, tonight at 9:30 and tomorrow night, September 23rd, at 7:30. It's a solo concert, just her on guitar, and it's in conjunction with a series presented by Joe's Pub in association with the New York Jewish Music and Heritage Festival. Well, when I mentioned that part to my good friend and occasional radio guest, Rabbi Saul Solomon, he got exuberant because he likes Jill's music too, and the fact that it was part of a Jewish-themed series, even though Jill is not a religious-themed performer of any kind, but the rabbi begged to do the interview himself. I really wanted this one for me, but Rabbi Saul is very passionate and persistent and threatening. I gave in. I hope I'm not going to regret it, but tonight on Dave's Gone By, the special guest is Jill Sobule, interviewed not by me, Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, music lover, and bisexual woman appreciator, but by Rabbi Saul Solomon, spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York, and bisexual woman appreciator. So get ready for a very interesting hour, which begins with a song from her 2000 album Pink Pearl, Mexican Wrestler by Jill Sobule.
Sometimes I wish that I was an angel, a fallen angel who visits your dreams. And in those dreams, I blow you a message that says, really want me. Sometimes I wish that I was a wrestler, a Mexican wrestler in a red vinyl mask, and I might grab you and body slam you and
So your business proposal has been typed, proofread, photoshopped, and given a nice cover. Now, all you need is 20 spiral-bound copies and 1,000 printings of your latest brochure. Your Xerox can't do it. Your mailroom can't do it. Hewlett Minuteman Press can do it all. Your one-stop printing shop, Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, open 6 days a week, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. Family-owned Minuteman. Their service can't be duplicated.
Shalom, damn it! Oh, you are now listening to me, Rabbi Saul Solomon, on the Dave's Gone By radio program, and I'm so happy, I'm very excited to be doing this special interview with a singer-songwriter that I like so much. She's had a couple of albums that are really good, and probably you know her, if you don't know her very well, from one song that she did about 10 years ago about kissing girls, which we'll talk about because I like talking about that. But she's done so much other stuff, and she has a new album with a dog on the back cover. We'll talk about that. Her name is Jill Sobule, and she's a nice Jewish girl, and she's on the phone with me now. Hello, Jill.
Hello, Rabbi.
How you doing? Damn it.
I'm very good, thank you.
Good. You're in Los Angeles. What the heck are you doing on the coast?
I don't know. I'm kind of on my year abroad program. I came here to do some work on a television show, but I'm ready to come home.
You miss New York, eh?
I miss New York.
Well, what show are you on? What television thing are you doing there?
I do music for a kids show on Nickelodeon called Unfabulous.
Oh, I did not realize that. It's called I'm Fabulous. What station?
Fabulous. It's on Nickelodeon on Sunday nights.
Sunday nights. I don't get the channel because it's forbidden. It has nothing to do with Jewishness. It's just my cable company stinks, so it's forbidden. But tell us, let's start with the most important thing, your Jewishness, okay? Now, you were born to Jewish parents, although apparently they broke up when they married Goyim, but, you know, nobody's perfect.
How did you know that? You've done it.
I'm a rabbi. I use Jewish Google. Joogle. It's very helpful. So,
yeah, we're Jews in Denver, Colorado. We're kind of as Protestant as you can get, kind of.
You weren't raised very Jewish at all. Do you have any Jewish experiences early on that you remember?
That's like Queen Esther.
Where
twice. Twice.
You're in like a Purim spiel thing?
Exactly. I went to temple, but I dropped out in sixth grade, so I never got bar mitzvah.
Oh.
Which I totally regret because I didn't get all those fine gifts or so.
Did you get circumcised at least?
I'm thinking I either want to get married or get bar mitzvahed for gifts and outfits.
Well, so you haven't done really either at this point, as far as I know.
No, I haven't.
We'll get to that, too, actually. But let's stick with the Jewishness. Stop diverting me with all that stuff. I want to talk Jew here. You first of all have this obsession, apparently, according to Jugal, with World War II and Holocaust and dead Jews in ovens and things like that. Is this true?
Yeah, and I don't know if it has to do with my Jewishness or that I watched a lot of Hogan's Heroes or I don't know. But there, and I used to have these dreams, and that's where the Hogan's Heroes comes in, where I was a resistance fighter all the time fighting Nazis. And my mom swears it was that she breastfed me while she was watching either Hogan's Heroes or Exodus. I'm not sure, but... That's a theme. I don't know why, but it's a theme.
Because
it probably has to do with the Jew thing.
I'm sure, you even on your album, I'm a little upset about this. You have a song on your new album called Underdog Victorious, not the Underdog Victorious song, the album title. Underdog Victorious has a song called Tel Aviv. And I was, oh my God, she has a song about Tel Aviv. I'm thrilled. And then I hear it, it's about a hooker, for God's sakes, right? She's going up the stairs to with these men in Tel Aviv. It's like, oh, you can't write good things about Israel, about nice things about Jews. You're writing about the hookers there?
Well, it's. I promise you that the next album will have Jerusalem, a song called.
Steve Earle already wrote that song.
The album was a little dark at times, I have to admit.
Well, you were pulling... What led to that darkness? Were you going through a difficult period? And I don't mean the monthly one. I mean more in general.
No, you know what it is? I think when I sit down to write songs, or when I'm in good spirits, which I am pretty much most of the time, the last thing I want to do is sit down and write a song. I want to go do something. So it's always when I'm kind of feeling either down or some sort of existential crisis, that's when I like to write, so...
Well,
that's what comes out. Every time I have a record, I get someone calling me up, are you okay?
Well, you open the album with a song about the fact that, you're still living like a college undergraduate. You know, you're using the subway, you have a roommate, you got a thing. So does that bother you now and then?
Well, yeah. I mean, on paper, sometimes I think I'm middle-aged and still... living like this kind of, it's cool to be a bohemian artist when you're in your 20s, but when you start getting in your, like, mid-30s and older, it starts getting suspect, But if I really think about it, it's a good life, I'm doing what I want to be doing.
That is the most important thing. But back to the Jewishness, all right?
Back to the Jewishness.
Tell
us
the story about Jesus being a dreidel spinner. What the hell is that?
Well, you know what? They asked me, check it out, they asked me to do, when I was on Atlantic Records, to do a Christmas song. So I thought, well, there's all these Christmas songs, and I'm Jewish, and most of the executives are Jewish, so I'm going to write a Jewish song. And it was Jesus was a dreidel spinner, and it was like, Jesus was a dreidel spinner, and if you can't forget, Paul was Saul before he was Paul. And the Last Supper was a Seder. You're getting the idea. So all you Christians remember, your Lord was a Jew, right? And they didn't let me, they didn't put out that song because they didn't want to have a Jewish song.
And they're still keeping the secret of Jesus' birth, that he was actually Jew. They don't want that part out of there. I don't know why. It's in the records, but so it goes. So instead, they made you write, or you volunteered to write an actual Christmas song. Except it was not so nice either.
Well, it was kind of a white trash Christmas thing. But Jesus was a dreidel spinner lives on. It's been on my website, and it's gotten a cult of its own, I think.
Hey, Dave's Gone By listeners. If you like hearing me, you love reading me even more. So hurry and get my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, filled with hilarious plays that were performed in New York, like King Solomon the Wise and Blind Date. 232 pages of pure Dave. Only $20 hardcover, $12 trade paperback. To get your copy, call 516-295-1511 or visit the Dave's Gone By website.
We are talking with Jill Sabule, the wonderful and fun and lovely singer-songwriter. Her new album is called Underdog Victorious. She has some other wonderful albums. My favorite is Pink Pearl. That's a terrific record. That's a
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And everybody knows the song, of course, I Kissed a Girl, but you also did songs like Karen by Night and Bigger and When My Ship Comes In and Mexican Wrestler, which I love. Good songs. Do you ever wonder why these songs, like you had this huge MTV hit, and then you have songs that I think are equal or as good or better, and yet airplay isn't quite what it was, and MTV isn't knocking on your door. Did you ever think, like, well, why? Why that one song and not these others?
No, because radio sucks. Radio's not very good, and so I don't wonder why, because if you hear what's on the top 10 radio, you know, I don't write like that. So, and kind of Kiss the Girl was kind of an odd bird, and probably because of the subject matter, and really that song wasn't even meant to be on the radio anyway. It's just somehow they picked that up. So, but I don't wonder why my other things aren't on the radio.
You're just used to the fact that that's the way radio and music is right now. What do you think of the music industry in general? I mean, it's now shifting from records and CDs and my favorite 8-track. That's now going to iPods and downloads and these other things, people getting, you know, tattoos in their wrists that they can listen to. Well, what do you think of all this?
I don't know. I mean, on one hand, it's kind of great. On one hand, I kind of like to see the demise of the big record industry and the companies. And on the other hand, I like the fact that, I mean, I'll go on, iTunes all the time. I go on and buy iTunes. And I kind of love that in a certain way. So there's good things. But I also think we're in a period where now the music is kind of, someone was saying to me, and it made sense, it's kind of like the 50s, when the 50s had the Frankie Avalon and the kind of like really safe kind of vanilla music. They think we might be in kind of where hopefully we'll be out of that. And there's great music out here, but it doesn't get the, you know, MTV's not playing it, the major radio's not playing it, but I have a feeling somehow there's going to be a backlash soon. That's the Jewishness.
You got to look at
it. Much more fun than the music industry.
Back to Jewishness. All right. Well, you're a word person. You're on the cover of Underdog Victorious, you're doing a crossword puzzle. Is that a thing for you? An obsession, a hobby thing?
Yeah, I was obsessed with the New York Times crossword. In fact, I had Will Shortz, he did a crossword for my record that's in the package. But lately, my new thing is online Scrabble.
Online Scrabble?
Yeah. So I thought I was really good because I beat my mom a lot. You know, you think you're good. And so I went on, you can go on, it's, what is it, Internet Scrabble Club. And you go on and you can play people from around the world. And I had a feeling, though, that I was playing people from, I realized I'm playing junior high school girls because their name will be like Jelly Girl 3 or something. And they always put little happy faces on. Good game. But that's my new obsession.
What's your high Scrabble score? Do you know?
Well, you know, it can go up. My score on Scrabble, they give you a rating, and I'm like 550, but it goes anywhere up from like 1500. But those are like the pros. But here's something that is kind of depressing. As I tried to learn how to play chess.
Oh, good. Jews love depressing things. Tell me.
It's really depressing and humiliating. I tried to learn how to play chess.
Yeah.
And so I went on an online chess thing last month, and I lost, you know, every game until, like, after 3 weeks, I won a game, and I emailed the person saying, thank you for, you know, good game. It made me feel good about myself, something funny. And I got an email back saying, oh, Johnny thanks you. He can't read now, but he thanks you.
Maybe I should try backgammon instead. All you got to do is push these little things back and forth. It's a lot easier. Don't have to deal with the horses and the bishops and all that confusion.
Yeah. I'm over it.
So tell me, for a while there, you were going a little away from the Jewishness back to the musicness here, You were on tour or part of the band of another musician that I happen to like named Lloyd Cole. And I like him even though nobody can tell the difference between John Cale, Lloyd Cole, Nick Cave, and all these C people. Can't they think of other names, damn it, one letter apart? Nobody knows who the hell they are. But he's good. I like him. He's got nice, gentle music when he's not drinking. So what was that all about?
Well, he had heard me as a guitar player and asked if I wanted to be in his band as a guitar player, and I hadn't been in anyone's band since high school, and so it was a great experience for me because, you know, I had to practice, I had to learn someone else's music, and I got to be a rock goddess on guitar, and it was great, and I opened up for him, and then I strapped on the electric and played, and I shredded.
So you really got to do a real wild electric guitar, which you can't do when you're doing your own stuff, I
assume. Right, because it's kind of silly when you're just playing solo and you're doing guitar solos. That just kind of is wanky. It doesn't make sense. But you know what? Lloyd and I got together a couple weeks ago, and we did there's going to be a Kris Kristofferson cover record, and we did one together, a duet.
Oh, man, what song? Like, you know,
For the Good Times, you know?
Oh, for the Good Times. I think Johnny Cash did that one, too. Well, he did that one himself, but somebody else covered that one.
Willie did, I think.
No, all right. I've got to get to some of the personal stuff, because that's what people really want to hear there.
Okay.
So, you and Lloyd Cole, just friends, right? Or was there...
Just friends.
All right, just wondering. Just, you know, or Lloyd Cole's sister, maybe? Or, no, I'm kidding. I'm joking there. But, so what is your personal situation at the moment there as far as vis-a-vis sex and people?
Sex and people? Right now I'm kind of on the single mode, you know?
Well, that's why you're playing Scrabble.
I'm playing Scrabble with junior high schoolers.
Well,
that's going to get me somewhere.
It's a good thing that's all you're doing with junior high school girls on the internet, let me tell you.
Dark.
But no, but so how come? I mean, you're a very cute and you're Jewish, a nice Jewish girl, smart, you're talented. So how come you're not out there mingling with 20-year-old musicians, male and female?
Well, because I kind of had a breakup not too long ago. And right now I'm in that kind of, I feel like an old Jewish woman. It's like, I can't be bothered right now. And it'll pass. It'll pass, you know. But right now I don't mind being in that place right now. But just wait. Tomorrow something could change. But
do you have a biological clock? Or is that beyond the, you know, is that gone? They're not going to make little Jews and Jewesses.
Well, I don't know. No, it still could be a possibility. You never, you know.
But it's not.
I don't know.
Hmm. And now we really have to get to the good stuff. When did you realize that you liked not only the men of the persuasion, but the females of the persuasion?
I think that was, I knew something was up when, let me think about it. Oh, because I was obsessed with Emma Peel.
Oh, she was hot. Oh, then Diana Rigg was... She was! My uncle used to watch The Pretenders... The Avengers.
The Avengers.
All the time. And he said, oh, that Emma Peel. The first one, not the later ones that they got with Steed. She was something. You're right. So she was
amazing.
She made the pink pearl tingle, as it were. So that was the the thing for you. I'll cut that.
Oh, maybe it was either Emma Peel, and I have to admit, Elizabeth Montgomery.
Oh, and Bewitched? Hmm.
But then I also liked Ilya Kuryakin. It was a spy thing for me, I think. Spy or witch thing.
So, that has come through, too, when you say you want to be the resistance spy guy, kind of spy, sort of this whole intrigue thing with a little bit of danger appeals to you. So, but did you think... please continue.
No, go on, ask.
No, I was just going to ask a very lascivious question about whether you dated boys first or girls first, or maybe animals,
boys.
If there were pets around or something.
Boys first, and in and out, yeah. Wendell Lee, he was my first boyfriend.
Wendell Lee. That's not a Jewish name.
So not a Jewish name.
Oh, wait, you went to Catholic school, didn't you? How the hell did that happen?
Well, because I kind of had a troubled junior high school, I went through, you know, troubled phase, and so there was the prep school with St. Mary's Academy. Plus, I liked the uniforms. And I was the token Jewess.
That's cool. So Wendell was token, also. Sorry?
I got to put on a mock Passover service for them. It was really bad.
Well, for them, that was it's their Last Supper, actually. So.
And then I would get it in. But then, they were so sweet. They thought I was kind of exotic in a way, the Jewess. Well, I kind of liked it being the outsider. But then once in a while I remember someone saying to me, you don't seem Jewish.
Which was a compliment for them, right?
Yeah, but it would always totally piss me off.
And you were so mad, your horns actually grew 2 inches. So it was,
my horns, throw the Jew down the well. And, I remember I would have to, it's terrible of me, but I would make up some story about how, I took great offense at that, and I had, relatives in the camps, which I haven't, which is horrible to say, but I wanted just them to feel so bad for saying that.
Oh, my God. I've not even done something that bad.
I know, that's really bad. Stop me. But
I mean, there are relatives I wish were in the camps, but that's just me.
So but then again it worked because they were always very careful. And they never said the Jew down thing in front of me again in any of that stuff.
What is Jew down? I guess that's the feather you get off of, I don't know. Not even funny. Okay.
If you like superheroes, Batman and Robin are okay, but if you like hard rock music and hardcore comedy, try Jimmy and Robin. That's right, the dynamic and diarrheic duo with live bands playing the best metal, punk, and more. Jimmy and Robin, Midnight Fridays on WGBB. Pow! Extra, classic episodes of Dave's Gone By here, show after show of comedy, music, and madness, as only Dave can do it. Only $12 per CD. Relive great moments like The Giving Chimp, and musical magic like Making Poopies. Classic Dave's Gone By, just $12. Makes a bizarre but thoughtful gift. For a list of shows, see davesgoneby.org or email davesgoneby@aol.com. Extra, classic Dave. Get them while they're hot.
We are talking with Jill Sabule, singer-songwriter, on the Dave's Gone By Show. I am Rabbi Saul Solomon, the head of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York, and we're asking her about her wonderful music and also getting back to her sex life, which is the most interesting thing, of course.
I wish it was the most interesting thing. And here's the deal, okay, because when I play, and I'll be interested. Like, I won't be in my old Jewish grandmother phase. Like, I'm in my dad, who cares? But so boys, a lot of boys think, like, maybe I'm interested, but she only likes girls. And then so they don't do anything, and then the girls think, oh, she just likes guys. So you can't win.
Well, what if you were a little more forward? What if there was a boy or a girl that you liked and you said, hey, maybe after the show, you and me, we could go to shul together. We could study Talmud.
Go to shul together.
You can unroll my scroll, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, that is such a good pickup line.
Yeah. Think about it. So I don't want to open any wounds or anything, but why the last serious relationship, why did that not happen? Or why did that stop happening?
Well, I think I've learned something. I was telling someone that I used to think someone who was kind of on the darker side and had, not complexion, but, darker side and had, this kind of mystery.
Could you speak of something?
A painful artist type, and I used to be really intrigued with that, and that's what I'd go for. And then just recently I've realized, no, that's mental illness.
You got me on that one. Granted, I am completely mentally ill. I'm on the dark side 98.3% of the time. And even the other 1% is gray. So there's not really a happy time for me. It's always anger and rage. But it keeps me going.
But see, this is what I'm getting to. But so, my last relationship, I thought, well, it wasn't my last big relationship, but someone who I dated, I thought, I'm going to go for someone who's just really stable, really kind of together, and it was so boring.
Was he Jewish? Male or female there?
This one was a female.
Oh, good. tell me more. Well, let's face it. Come on. You know, it's normal, you know, the thing of one man, woman. But when I hear two girls, it's like, aha, tell me more.
How come you don't hear the two women going, aha, the two guys? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, I don't go to those bars, but you know. Seriously. So she was stable, but she was like, eh. It just was like too stable. It was like vanilla, right?
It was vanilla. It was bored me.
So
I don't know what. So I think I have to have balance.
Well, you could date a really dangerous guy and a really kind of normal librarian woman, and then you're all set. And then you have
my new fantasy. I don't know what. It all goes back to the old movies. Is I want to find an adventurous, intriguing archaeological professor that wears a pith helmet and joggers.
I think he's married to Calista Flockhart now. Try again.
I know.
Although he is Jewish, by the way, or at least partially Jewish. I know that. I wonder if
Harrison
she converted.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he is. He's actually, I think, all the way Jew. So
he doesn't seem Jewish.
What is that supposed to be, a compliment? Damn it. See, even ourselves, we pick on ourselves sometimes. Let's talk a little about some of the songs that I mentioned before that I love of you, Ab, how they came about. Like, Mexican Wrestler, was that based on personal life? I love that song. Or was,
Mexican Wrestler was, and you don't mind if there's a little noise, I'm walking out to my car because I'm running late.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I like talking. No, we're continuing talking, but just if you hear traffic, you hear what's going on.
If I hear a crashing sound, I'll send 911 there.
Mexican Wrestler is a song, I think an amalgam of a couple of different people. It was just thinking about, you know, same with Love is Never Equal, liking someone and they don't like you. And
oh,
isn't
I've
that
been
the
there.
Basis of the best songs ever?
And what about Karen by Night? That's a very clever idea for a song.
Karen, when I moved from Denver, I got a job at Barney's department store, the old one that used to be on 7th Avenue. And I had a boss who, you know, very, like I said, during the day she looked very conservative with these Chanel suits and very, you know, pretty, but in a very kind of Republican housewife way. But at night she would go to S&M lesbian clubs and get really drunk and pick fights with people. And so it was kind of my ode to her.
So that was.
But
really,
now, and she was, and again, now she's Karen by day all the time because she doesn't drink anymore. And
has she become boring, or has she become stable and good? What do you think?
I don't know. I haven't seen her, but I think she's stable and good, but nothing to write a song about.
Karen, she's my boss at the shoe store. We sell to the rich on Madison Avenue. Coming late from Brooklyn on the F train. Karen says, honey, make this your last time. But we like her. She's fun but approachable. Dresses in style, pretty conservative. We ask her, hey, come out with us after work. Karen, she always declines. And we talk about Karen by night. Imagine she must lead a very dull life, but just a cat off her fireside. We know her by day, but we don't know Karen by night. In the soft room, searching for a night, we are over at Karen. Club, the ship are coming in, and I can't pull this one off alone. Well, I didn't know what to think. Was my mom playing tricks? Was there more to this Karen than real life? I had to know, so I followed her home. I could not believe my eyes. And then I saw Karen by night. She was looking for someone.
that she was looking for a fight. Then a young blonde bump walked in. She grabbed him by the collar. She kissed him hard on the mouth and slapped him on the cheek. Then I thought she'd find me at the corner of her eye. So I ran outside, but all night. Precious as Daisy, she says with a smile, why you look like hell, and where were you last night? Karen by night. Imagine she must be the very door light, but just a careful fireside. We know her by day, but we don't know.
Where do you write? How do you write? Do you sit down with a piece, or do you sit down with a guitar or a piano? What is your modus operandi of the song makingness? Hello? Did you get in an accident?
No, are you there?
Oh, there you go. Okay, I thought an airbag imploded.
No, I have no specific way of writing. I think, but I like to be away. I like to make time. Like, I'm not one of those that every day gets up and writes. I like to make a time where, like, I go away to the country for 4 or 5 days. Sometimes it'll be just paper and pen, sometimes on my computer, sometimes just on my guitar. Really, that's what I think keeps me alive, is I don't have one, I'm not stuck in one mode of writing.
Now, I'm a big fan of show tunes and Broadway theater and things like that. Have you ever thought about, since you do a lot of stories, songs about characters and people, have you ever been approached to or wanted to write a musical type thing?
Well, as we're speaking, I did one last summer called Prozac and Platypus. And we're they played at the Summer Play Festival in New York, and we're retooling it. And there's a couple other things down the line that people are, you know, it's almost seems like a next step. And in a way, I'm not a big fan. Like, I really don't like musicals, and because I don't like the kind of, you know.
You're a Jew? Chas v'chalil, you don't like musicals? Not even Fiddler? You have to like Fiddler.
Okay, I do a bitchin' Sunrise Sunset, okay?
All right, fair enough.
But because I didn't grow up on musical theater, and so I think now there's people who are involved in musical theater who are kind of younger who are like saying, no, we don't want Andrew Lloyd Webber sounding things that, you know, let's get, like the old days, it was the popular artists who would do the Cole Porters and the
Harold Arlens, and yes, of course, yes.
Yeah. Her Garland, who would write the show tunes, and so I think they're, you know, trying to find people who aren't in musical theater and try to find something different.
So what was the experience of writing Prozac and Platypus? What the hell was that about anyway? I'm sorry, but the title.
It was a completely strange, dark play about a doctor, his suicidal punk daughter, and a platypus.
All right. Didn't Mr. Rogers do that one already?
Yeah. People that have gone to see it really liked it, but that they needed meds afterwards, I think.
Well, I feel like that after seeing most of what I see on Broadway. So who are the musical people who have influenced you, that you have listened to, that you have liked? Male, female, straight, lesbian, hermaphrodite,
well,
whatever.
I think, you know, you can't get away from the people you first heard when you were young. And so, like, I had a brother who was older than me, and he would show me his, like, Dylan records and his Leonard Cohen records and the John Prine records. So there was that part of me that was the storytelling singer-songwriter. But at the same time, I also liked, I remember liking funk and R&B and you know, and rock. So it was like such eclectic music. But I think lyrically, I was glad earlier on I had this kind of 60s and early 70s singer-songwriter influences.
Have you gotten to meet or even work with some of your idols and these people that you idolized, which is what we tend to do to idols, unless we smash them because they're not allowed to have idols.
I got to open up once for Neil Young, and that was like, wow.
Did you get to meet him, or did you?
Yeah, I met him, yeah, exactly. And that was exciting. I got to meet, I got kissed on the cheek by a Beatle, Paul and Ringo. I was on stage with Paul once. It was this, it was one of the strangest experiences I ever had. It was a Songwriters Hall of Fame, and I got to induct Neil Diamond, who I kind of love, actually, in a, you know.
Okay, hey, nice Jewish boy. He was in the Jazz Singer. He's fine by me.
The Jazz Singer. That's what, I have a bad movie night with my friends, and that was one we played last month. It was so funny.
I don't think I'm going to lie.
Why do I buy Laurence Olivier more as a Nazi and marathon man than as a cantor?
You know, that's a very good question. I can buy him as Hamlet. He was too old and he was blonde. I mean, Olivier should not be blonde. What the hell's going on there? You know, check his pubes. They're dark. Damn it. Anyhow. So wait, but tell me. So what were the Beatles doing giving you schmutzkes?
So I was on stage. So he was inducting Brian Wilson, and it was and Lee Bernstoler was being inducted, and who else? Carole King was being inducted. So at the end, they had all the artists and the people get on stage to sing Kansas City. So here I'm on stage singing Kansas City with
Paul and Ringo.
With all of them, with Brian Wilson, with Carole King, and Paul McCartney, and Brian Wilson, Neil Diamond, and I remember James Taylor next to me sitting going, can you believe who we're here with?
And you looked at James Taylor. I can't believe I'm here with James Taylor.
I can't believe I'm here with James Taylor. Because as a Jewish girl growing up in the like late 70s, Carole King and James Taylor were everything, weren't they?
Well, I wasn't a Jewish girl growing up in the 70s. But I liked,
you knew Jewish girls, though.
I knew a few. They didn't want to know me, but I knew them. It was kind of a stalking situation. We won't get into it. But, so what is your faith at the moment? I mean, you're Jewish, obviously, but not really raised, and you went to Catholic school. So what do you believe in now?
I believe in the golden rule.
More
specific. You have to be Jewish.
So, but what is the golden rule for you? Or is
that
a sex toy?
I believe in almost the, you know, just be a good person. Try to do good works. Be a good person. Almost like Christianity without the Christ thing.
Fair enough.
I guess that's Judaism.
Basically. Well, we don't turn the other cheek. If somebody hits us on the cheek, we come back with a gun and we say, no, don't
that's
hit
true.
Us.
You know, I have to admit that Old Testament God, he was something.
Oh, he was a bastard, but he was good. Yeah,
I was looking up, you know, at times I read the Bible because, you know, I'm in hotel rooms and I forget books, so I'll turn it on. And I was looking at Leviticus, and some of those laws were just, come on. You know, you can't sleep with a girl when she's got her period. And the one that I thought was a little harsh was that you can't, if you sleep with an animal, they stone you, but they'll also stone the animal.
Oh, that's
not fair.
It certainly isn't. Oh, my goodness.
I want to do something about that law.
Well, I mean, but here, look at it this way. Bob Dylan wrote the song Everybody Must Get Stoned, probably based on that passage in Leviticus. Do you ever find yourself tempted to write socially oriented and political songs, or do you leave that?
I do all the time. And, in fact, you know, I've written songs on that have been on Air America and on A Tell Us the Truth Tour. No, I'm a big, like, Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger, you know, kind of, and in the last month, I've written quite a few, actually.
Based on Katrina, or just based on things in general, or what?
In general, I've got a good Katrina song.
What's the Katrina song? Can you sing us a little bit of the hurricane thing?
Good work. good work brownies, buddy of mine. Raise your hand. Everyone, high five. You know, it's just about him, you know. It's hard to explain.
Okay.
But it's bluegrass.
Oh, all right. Oh, I just want to get back to more of the girl stuff.
Who was the first girl I kissed?
Yeah, well, I'm sure you've answered that one 4 zillion times, but answer it again.
No, I really haven't.
Oh, really?
Her name was Ivanita Hooper.
Ivanita Hooper? I guess you did need a Hooper. All right, how did this happen? Tell it slowly and in detail.
It was on my third year abroad program. One of those, you know?
As opposed to your third abroad a year, but you know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was in Spain, and Ivanita was another American on the program, and not Jewish again. I need to find a nice Jewish person.
Yeah, and a doctor, preferably a doctor.
Yeah. Who has that balance of dark side and vanilla? So
what did Ivanita Hooper look like? I feel like Howard Stern doing this, but I don't care. What? Tell me about Ivanita Hooper.
Ivanita Hooper was kind of, she had the kind of Trustafarian look.
Oh.
You know, she had the kind of dreadlocks and...
And that was just her pubic hair, but you know... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Ouch. And so Ivanita, I'm trying to remember.
Oh, you remember. Everybody remembers.
I was very drunk, okay.
Oh, okay.
But it was Ivanita Hooper, and I remember making out with Ivanita Hooper.
So it was more than a kiss. It was, or you were kissing, but not just the lips. Something like, and not just those lips. But anyway.
It might have been second base, okay?
Okay, fair enough. Second base. I'm trying to remember the last time I played softball. Like, I got hit in the head. It wasn't good. No, I passed out. Rabbi shouldn't play sports. Okay, that was but she wasn't a girlfriend. It was just a passing thing. Was there a point when you were in what was your first relationship with a female of the opposite gender?
Her name was Victoria Capsimbellis.
I can't believe you're giving out the names of people. That's so amazing. Most people say, oh, well, she was Madam X and this. But
I just like the names, right.
Well, I think you're going for the... That's why you're a Scrabble person. You're only dating people with names that have 15 syllables in them. You're passing up all the James Smiths and the John Marshalls, or Marshallowitzes. So tell me more about this Caparilla Kugelis person.
It wasn't really a major relationship, but it was it was more than second base. It was kind of all the way, that one.
Well, okay, that's so good.
That's fair enough.
They're not on satellite radio, so we can't get further, though. I wish we could! And were you ever close to being, I know you were in some serious things, close to being married?
Yes,
or,
I
again,
was.
Oh, you were.
With Eve Beauvais.
To Eve?
Eve, Y-V-E-S.
Oh, a man type man.
Yes, Eve, but it was good because what was great about being with Eve is because when it was like right around when Kiss the Girl came out, and I didn't want to, you know, bust the kind of lesbian cred, so I said, yeah, I'm seeing someone named Eve.
But in the interviews around that time and later on, they said at that point you were a little coy about what you were. Was that about fear of being typecast?
Well, because I wanted to talk about my music. It was, like, so frigging annoying.
I know, but, come on, people are going to want to know. I mean,
it was, I didn't know what to do back then. I didn't know what to say because it was like, I was a singer-songwriter of series, and all of a sudden everyone wanted to be Howard Stern, including the rabbi.
Yes, well, what can I tell you? We're human, you know. And if you're interesting enough as a person, we'll go to the music.
Now I don't care, you know.
Oh, good. So tell us more about this Caparilla. No, I'm kidding. So, what was the most recent song that you wrote? Like, did you write one this morning or last week or what?
Last week, probably, or 2 weeks ago, about Katrina.
But not the one you just mentioned. A different one.
Yeah, but I wish I had all the lyrics for you.
Well, just remind people then, first of all, you're going to be in town, in my town, in my neck of the woods, and very shortly, you're going to be playing as part of a Jewish thing. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do this interview. Tell really quickly where you're going to be, what, when, what.
I'm going to be at Joe's Pub the 22nd and 23rd, and it is for, isn't it for the Jewish heritage, something or
something
another.
Like that, something involving my people, yeah. So
something involving our people, 22nd and 23rd.
And you're part of a big thing, or is it a solo concert? What is the thing? What are you doing?
It is part of the just me, just solo.
Oh, excellent. Very good. Will you promise to do some Jewish material?
I promise.
Oh, this is excellent. This is wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking with the wonderful, the beautiful, the adorable, the bisexual Jill Sobule on the Dave's Gone By program. Jill, it's been fabulous. I thank you for being so open and so fun. And I thank you also for having such great music that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. And come down to the show.
Jenny came over and told me about Freddy. Such a hairy behemoth, she said. Dumb as a box of hammers, but he's such a handsome guy. And I opened up and I told her about Larry. And yesterday how he asked me to marry. And I'm not giving him an answer yet. I think it could be better. So we laughed, compared notes. We had a drink, we had a smoke. She took off her overcoat. I kissed a girl. She called home to say she'd be late. He said he worried, but now he feels safe. I'm glad you're with your girlfriend. Tell her hi for me. And then I looked at you, you had guilt in your eyes, but it only lasted a little while. And then I felt your hand above my knee. And we laughed at the world. They can have their diamonds and we'll have our pearls. I kissed a girl.
Sunday nights at 7 on WGBB, Joe Salzone hosts a fast-paced hour of news and opinion, Worldview, which includes my theater segment, Broadview. Every Sunday at 7, it's Joe's Worldview, and welcome to it. D is for Dave, F is for fun, S is for silly and special, X is for excellent entertainment, DFSX, Internet Radio, playing vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By, Thursday nights at 8 and 11. It's part of Live 365, but all you've got to do is visit davesgoneby.org, click the link, and listen online to classic Dave's Gone By, Thursdays 8 and 11. DFSX, letters that stand for terrific!
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. I have to say, I was worried. I wasn't sure if Rabbi Saul Solomon could pull off the interview, but I think he did an amazing job asking most of the questions I would have asked, especially the prurient ones. Well done, Rabbi. And what a great sport and a wonderful guest, Jill Sobule. She's at Joe's Pub an hour and a half from now.
If tonight's Dave's Gone By didn't convince you to run and go see her, then you deserve what's on Top 40 Radio. Everybody else, 9:30 tonight at Joe's Pub, and again, 7:30 tomorrow night, Jill Sobule. May she always get quadruple word score. And thanks also to John Seroff at Joe's Pub and Jill's manager, Jack Leitenberg, for setting everything up. Thanks to Program Director Tom Ross for letting me do what I do, not just on Dave's Gone By, but my other show, Filler Up, tonight at 9. For those of you not going to Joe's Pub, Filler Up tonight, two titans of rock and roll, Bruce Springsteen and Nick Cave. Listen also to the best of Dave's Gone By tonight at 8 and 11 Eastern on DFSX Radio. That's a cable station you can click to from my website, davesgoneby.org. davesgoneby.org is also the place to learn more about the show and see advertising rates, which are cheap and just waiting for your business, so I can promote you just as I do Hewlett Minuteman Press, the Kings of Copies, and Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider Magazine, the Bible of Broadway. Thanks always to my lovely and sweet and smart and, alas, non-bisexual wife, Joyce. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'll be back next Thursday, September 29th, with the 144th edition of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. A toast to the underdog victorious and gone by. La, la, la.
Reset the dodgeball through and knocked poor Bobby down. 4 o'clock when he got home, upstairs in his room, he closed the door, sigh on his cape, put on his skin tight suit, and he sang, he was dreaming of the New York Dolls and Max's Kansas City. Of course, they never called him back. They thought he was too queer.